Last week, Johnny did a good job talking about our new nature, our new self in Christ, the old self and the new self in Ephesians chapter 4. And he talked about how our culture tries to define who we are, and a culture says it's up to us to define who we are. But really, our Creator knows best, and far, far superior to let Him live the way He designed us to live. And so that's a choice we make to put on our new nature, our new self with Christ. So that's a general principle, and today we're getting into some deep practicalities where the rubber meets the road. And it can get tough, but it's exciting. What makes it extra sobering for me is realizing that today's passage deals with pain in relationships. We all enjoy relationships. A lot of us, we can't live without relationships, but pain comes from those relationships. And some of the deepest pains we ever experience are from our closest friends. And yet, it's becoming clear to me, this is God's plan. Oh, I thought you were loving God. Yeah, but His ways are so good and so bigger, and it really is loving. And it's taken me a while to learn that. And it brought to mind this week, as I was thinking about this, a lady back in our church in Maryland, Pauline Franks. 25 years ago, approximately, I asked her, because she's older than the rest of us, but we all admired her. She just enjoyed God. She enjoyed being a Christian. She was happy, and she was a single lady, but she'd been married, had kids. She knew God's word. She had strong godly character. A lot of conversations, had a lot of time praying with her. I remember one time asking her myself, Pauline, how would you summarize the things that God did in your life to help you be the godly, awesome woman that you are now? She said real quickly, without hesitation, my very difficult marriage and a husband who did not love the Lord and was very difficult to live with. That kind of caught me off guard. Really? That was the reason? That's what God used to make you do it? He said, without question, yes. That is the number one thing that God has used for me to be the person that you see. That stuck with me. That sobered me up. Wow. So if I want to be like her, Lord, what do I ask for? No, I don't want to ask for that. The things we're going to look at cover a lot of territory, and a lot of things said in this passage, we can go really deep, have a message on a lot of the phrases. We're going to just give a quick overview. And so to help appreciate what's going on there, I want to give you a bigger picture also. A bigger picture of the Ephesians picture, but also even beyond that. So I think we have a slide up here. Three separate passages where it's summarized, the golden life. Ephesians 4, a few verses earlier, says that God's plan for His church, for His people, through the leaders and the members working together, was to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's goal, God's goal for all of us, to experience the fullness of Christ. Now, not only in heaven. Secondly, John 15:11. This is Jesus saying this during His last night with the disciples, the Passover supper. Gave instructions. He says, I told you this so that My joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Is He saying, so it will be complete in heaven? So that you'll have joy in heaven? Just hang on, endure. There's joy in heaven. No, He says, I'm telling you instructions so that your joy may, My joy may be in you now. And that your joy may be complete now. He's our Creator saying that. So I need to get that clear in my mind. He wants my greatest joy in life now. That's why He gives us instruction. Some of this instruction is tough to believe that that's really His plan. That's why I'm going over this. 2 Peter 1, he's another guy listening to Jesus. Peter, says he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, in the nature of God, right now in this life, and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Wow, that's an awesome goal. Yes, that's what I want. Now, go to the next slide, and these are the statements that come right after those statements. Literally, right after, or just the next few verses. In Ephesians 4, it says, speaking the truth in love, let all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That all sounds good until problems happen and pain happens. But that's his plan too. Building ourselves up in love results in pain some of the time. John 15:12, right after he says, I'm telling you this so your joy can be complete, he says, this is my command. Love each other as I have loved you. That is the core instruction for us to experience the greatest joy. Love each other as I have loved you. Oh, great. That sounds so good. Yes, bring it on. I want to be loved. Well, that's part of it, but there's more to it than that. 2 Peter 1:5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Relationships are a huge part of all of that. Can't get this. God's central to God's plan. And for our greatest fulfillment, because he's our creator. So as I get into these things that talk about pain, how God's plan is for pain in our relationships, I'm not saying that we should be looking for pain, and I'm not saying his goal is for us to endure pain. You don't become spiritual by how much pain you endure. We could inflict pain on ourselves or whatever. That's not the spiritual thing. But it's how we handle the pain. When pain does happen, that's part of God's plan. Pain will happen in a broken world, but it's how we handle the pain that determines if we're going to learn to have the greatest joy and be the most fulfilled in our lives. So God's plan for us is similar to what Jesus experienced here. There's times in Scripture that said he was full of joy. When he lived here, he's full of joy. Even though he was blasted with painful statements and painful actions from the beginning of his ministry and probably in his childhood, his joy was full even while he was here. And so with this diagram here, accept God's love for us, yes, that's awesome. Then his plan for us to grow into fullness of joy and fullness of Christ is to love people, especially when they hurt us. When it's most difficult to love, that's the most important time to love. How? Jesus is the main example here. Fullness of joy and fullness of Christ, that really should be on the same line, but I just ended up making the diagram this way. But joy does not come before Christ. Fullness of Christ is what results in fullness of joy, so it really should be on the same line there, but you get the idea here. So another way we can say all this is that circumstances don't mold us. What's happening in the church, what your friends do to you, we can feel like, my life is being ruined. My marriage is ruined because of what he did or she did. That's just, that can just overwhelm you. Your job is ruined. Your life is ruined. Your marriage is ruined. That's our emotions. But that's not what God says. It's the choices we make, how to handle those situations when those horrible things happen. It's what determines our growth. If we're going to send ourselves down, or send ourselves up to the fullness of joy and the fullness of Christ that he's planned for us. Let's pray. Father, help us again. We always need your help. Holy Spirit, we need your help all the time. We're getting into another part of your word. It's all important. And these few verses are very important. Need your help to understand what's going on. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Start with verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Again, just a quick reminder of how this is in the context of all of Ephesians. So this slide here, it's a reminder of the first three chapters, God's purpose for his people to be his children. He makes it clear that we are chosen, holy, and loved as his children. And then this second half here, chapters 4 through 6, God's purpose is fulfilled through his people. His plan for our growth is we've looked at his plan for growth of his people and how that's accomplished in daily life is chapter 4:17 that Johnny started with all the way to 6:20 near the last few verses of here in Ephesians. So Johnny started off this section, the principle of putting off our old self and the new self. That applies to almost every aspect of our daily life. So now, Ephesians 4:25, we're getting down to the very practicalities of what it means to put on our new nature in Christ. So in these verses, I gave the title Practicalities of Conversation and Attitudes at All Times, and especially when things are painful. The new you under pressure. And I think God could say the new you grows best under pressure. In heaven, I don't think there'll be the same pressure, but I'll let God take care of that. For some reason, this is his best plan for us to experience the fullness of joy, fullness in Christ, right now. Okay. So he starts off in verse 25 here by saying, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for all members of one body. This is not the only reason for speaking negatively or falsely or pretending, but often it is because we don't want pain. We don't want to get hurt. I failed. I've done something wrong. I don't want to be accused. I don't want to experience the consequences. So my natural tendency is lost to say, either pretend I didn't do it or say, no, I didn't do it. As a school bus driver with school bus kids, that was just so apparent. I'm just watching those kids do something back and say, Sally, put that book away, or whatever. She's looking around, and then later ask her, why did you hit so-and-so with that book? I didn't hit him. And I've just been watching her the whole time. Just lies, we won't go into that. That's a huge subject, so we're not going to spend much time. We all, as adults, we're more sophisticated. It's not blatant lies usually, but we pretend so easily because we're trying to protect ourselves a lot of ways. We don't want to get hurt. We don't want that pain. Okay, Ephesians 4:26, the next verse. In your anger, do not sin. Okay, this is a quote from the Old Testament, Psalm 4:4. It's not a new instruction. It's always been around. Psalm 4:4, in your anger, do not sin. So you think about this. One thing is clear. He said, anger in itself is not sin. He says, in your anger, Jesus got angry, but in your anger, do not sin. Anger can be so intense that it can take over so easily, and our emotions can be the driving force. So when it's my emotions that are driving my life and my actions, that's very dangerous. So easy to be selfish, proud, destructive, and not walking in the Spirit. So in your anger, do not sin. And it could be by seeing someone else get hurt by word or action, or it could be you getting hurt by word or action. Anger can come up both ways. It's a very broad subject, a very broad emotion. And so I just wanted to help us see that a lot of this instruction, these next few verses, relates to the subject of anger. And to give you an idea of that, here's a quick summary on these slides. I just gave a summary, it's not the quotes from the verses. Practicalities of conversation and attitudes at all times, and especially when things are painful. Our first instruction we'll look at is deal with it quickly. Then do not let the devil get a foothold in your life. Only talk with others in a way that will build them up. We especially need help to remember that when our anger is strong and emotions are strong. That's when we want to put them down. We want to put them in their place. What we think is their place. Do not say anything unwholesome. Focus on the benefit of others. That your emotional feeling of anger is not thinking that for the benefit of others, because that's not what they deserve. They cause us pain and trouble. Do not grieve God's Spirit. Easily done if anger gets its way in our lives because of what He's saying, because we're sealed in Him. He lives in us. And it says, get rid of all negative feelings toward others. You look through this list is essentially things that happen when we don't deal with anger in a godly way, according to God's instructions. Bitterness. Bitterness just grows, and Scripture says it destroys us from the inside. That happens when you don't deal with anger right. Rage and anger, brawling and slander, malice. All expressions of anger that's not dealt with in a godly way. Practice unconditional love toward others. Be kind and compassionate to God, one another, forgiving each other. Why do we need to forgive? We've been hurt. That's where anger comes from. So you see how all these things are tied together a lot? There are other statements in here about not stealing, working to give to others. And so there's a lot of good instruction in for relationships. But a big theme here is handling relationships when we've been hurt. How do we respond? So as we look in more detail here, an analogy that has been helpful for me when I'm looking at this instruction, realizing how hard it is thinking or comparing myself to a football player. I've never been a football player. I've seen a lot of movies and heard a lot of stories. But it's obvious in football that you do get hurt. You will get hurt. And especially in the NFL, high percentage of lifetime injuries, you will get hurt. So can you imagine a football player out there on the field during practice, and he gets hurt, pushed down, saying, "Coach, coach, did you see what he did to me? He pushed me on purpose. That hurt." And coach says, "Get a grip. Get a grip. I thought you were a loving coach. I was told you were a loving and kind coach. You let this happen?" You know, the rest of the players, they'll just be shaking their heads. What happened to this guy? And I'm realizing that that's God's plan. These guys want joy. They want fulfillment in life, to win a game, win the Super Bowl. To go to the Super Bowl, do you realize you have to play at least 3 more games? High chance you're going to get some injuries in those 3 games. You want to do that? Why? When we sign up with Jesus to be His follower, we want joy in life. We want to know You, Jesus. similar to a football game. This is the way you're going to experience fullness of joy, fullness of me. You're going to get hit. You're going to get abused by some of your closest friends. But walk with me. The things I'm going to teach you are going to result in the greatest joy. You're going to know me better than ever if you hang in these practices. It's not really practices, it's real battle every day. But you get the idea. The similarities in a football game. Those players have to keep the big perspective. They get caught up. We've seen it happen on the field on TV. They get blasted. There's no way he can do that. Rip off their helmet. All they come in. Rules aside. And it's hard to tear them apart. They can get suspended from the game when they forget the big picture. They're caught up in dealing with this person who hurt them. God's saying, we can't get caught up with that one person. Remember what's going on. Remember who I am. Okay. Next verse here. In verse 26. Let's see. 27. Oh, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. That is difficult instruction when something overwhelming has happened. If someone said something irritating, yeah, I should, you know, go forgive them or apologize before the end of the day. And that's even tough to do a lot of times. But what if one day you find out that your spouse has been cheating on you for years and covering it up? That is just the worst. One of the worst kind of blows that can happen to a spouse. To deal with that before the sun goes down? It's just doesn't compute when a person happens. How do we handle that? Well, what we're looking at here later, back again and again, Jesus' model. That's why the few verses down at the beginning of 5 says, imitate me. Imitate God. Be imitators of Christ who went through this kind of abuse. Of all kinds of abuse. Imitate him. And so it's interesting as they go to Jesus. In John chapter 5, Jesus said he could do nothing apart from the Father. Sounds simple, but that's the first key for all of us. God, I need your help. When I am blasted in whatever way and feel so helpless and so angry, right now we can ask the Holy Spirit to remind us quickly, before the sun goes down, remind me that I need your help. Because we naturally don't think that when we're so angry to go to God for help. We're just so focused on what needs to be done to that person. But Jesus himself says, I can't do anything. You can check it out, John 5:19, John 5:30. He said, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. What? Jesus? He can't do anything by himself? Somehow we think we can handle life by ourselves. If things get tough, I'm going to ask for help. Jesus himself said, I can do nothing by myself. Two times in that chapter, verse 19 and 30. There could be all different variations of meaning there, but he says it clear. Everything he did, he needed to do an action in conjunction with the Father. So I needed God's help. Whatever the thing, pain, problem that happens, Jesus, I need you. Father, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. Going to him, that is dealing with, that's the first step of dealing with anything before the sun goes down. And I'm taking a good step. If that's the only step I take, that's good. That's an important step that we've taken before the sun's going to. Doesn't mean that the problem's going to be solved before the sun goes down, but I need to deal with it before it comes down. The first step of dealing with it, get help, especially from God. And then there's other things that can come from that. Wow. Why deal with anger quickly? It's worse than an infection. It just spreads. My internal thinking, domino effect, things that I say, domino effect, hurting other people, I end up hurting people, just We can spend a lot of time thinking about the effect if anger is not dealt with quickly. Ephesians 4:27, next verse. Do not give the devil a foothold. This isn't just my emotions. It just isn't what happens when I say. This is a spiritual battle going on. And Satan is out to jump in. Whenever I'm selfish, that's an open door, because I'm taking myself out from under God's control. When I'm by myself, the enemy can come in. When I'm walking in the Spirit, he has to deal with the Holy Spirit. But I'm saying, oh, I'm going to handle this on my own. I'm going to make sure this person gets what they deserve. That's an open door for Satan to come along and make heyday in me, through me, with other people. We could tell all kinds of stories of horrible things that have happened when we follow our own emotions and forget God, God's purposes for our life. Reminds me of a story Eric Metaxas wrote up about Jackie Robinson. There's the movie 42. That's the name of the movie because his number was 42. And he was a strong example in this area of needing to decide ahead of time that he would not respond in anger to the abuse that he would receive from people. So when Ranch Ricky, the one who signed him up with the Brooklyn Dodgers, he's looking for a special person across the country. We won't go into that. But when he was there with him in the first interview there in person, he was saying, Jackie, you are the first black player who will have ever played in major leagues. You are doing a no-no that thousands of people across the country do not want to happen. You will experience abuse. And he started, what are you going to do when people call you da-da-da-da? What are you going to do when people do this? What are you going to do here? And he just started getting carried away. And Jackie says, like, he's trying to get rid of me and not have a job. He says, Jackie, it's going to be worse than you can imagine. But the moment you forget, the moment you get carried away and try to respond to that person, let your anger respond to that person individually, that's the end of your career. You can make an open door for other black players. I'm convinced you can do it, Jackie. But this is what will happen out on the field there and in the locker room. And wherever you are, you can expect the most worst kind of abuse you've ever experienced, worse than you've ever seen it before. What do you think, Jackie? Jackie says, I'll go for it. And it's an awesome movie. And this picture up here that you see, this was where he was celebrated many years later with his wife, Ranch Ricky. Did he have joy inside? You can see it on his face. A lot of joy. A lot of pain. None of us can imagine the pain that he went through. But Eric Metaxas is convinced he's a strong Christian before he even signed up to go there. And Eric Metaxas says, that's why Branch could choose him as the man to face, to know how to handle that kind of abuse and anger. Why did you do it? For the joy in this life. And that's God's plan for all of us. And to get to know our Creator, to walk more closely with Him because of that kind of thinking and attitude. Okay, verse 28 is another reference, or is this comments about don't steal anymore, but be a giver instead of a taker. Whole different way of thinking and action, being giver instead of taker. We'll jump down to verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Wow, there's each of those phrases. We could have a whole message on each of them, or even more than that, a workshop on those subjects. That's huge. But when we've been hurt, that's the time that we tend to blow it most in all these areas. Letting unwholesome talk come out of our mouth. We don't think before we talk when the emotions are so strong. Let alone consider how can we build this person up? No, I want to tear him down as far down as possible because of what he did to me, or she did to me, or whatever. How do I know their needs? That's a whole other area. Yes, we need to address that all the time with our kids, with our spouses, all across the board. And the more we ask for God, God's help. Help me understand this person, how they're thinking, how they're feeling, so I can build them up. So much here. How do I know it will be beneficial to them? I have an idea of what their needs are, but will it benefit them? That's a whole other area we need God's help with. First step is going to God again always. God, I need your help. This is so big. There's no way I can handle this. I can't figure it out. I have some ideas, but we need his help. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. He's the one that's out for our welfare. He wants to help me know him, and as a result, be used by him to build the other people up that he loves. We need his help to remember that he's the one we're living for, Jackie Robinson. He was living for a bigger cause, not just Branch Rickey, but a much bigger cause than just his reputation there on the field. And because of him, he opened up the door for many other black players to be playing in the major league. Okay. Ephesians 4:31. List of things. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. That's always destructive. All those things are always destructive. But when you think about it, those things happen. They tend to happen when we've been hurt. Anger comes up. And rage and anger, we have anger in response, which, again, isn't normally wrong. But how we handle that anger is the key. And rage is normally not a way of properly handling anger. Bitterness, malice, hatred. You know, when you think about it, when someone's hurt us, by the Holy Spirit's help, I've experienced this a little bit to help me be sad for that other person. Because that's evidence that person is not walking in the Spirit, but they're acting selfishly and proud. And so when they act selfishly and proud, they're destroying their own self. They're making themselves miserable. Just like it, Scripture says what happens to me, if I'm following my own desires and walking in pride, I'm ruining my life, making myself miserable. So when they're doing that, and they have pain for me, by God's grace, I can feel sorry for them. Oh, they're ruining their life and they don't even know it. And compassion can come out. That's the opposite. That is not natural. Oh my, I'm just smiling because that's, wow, it's rare that that comes up in my thinking when I get hurt. God, these people that hurt me. But by God's grace, that can happen. And I don't know, Jesus was compassionate for these people that were ranting and raving against him. And he realized, these people don't know what they're doing. And like a mother hen saying, Jerusalem, I long to help you out. So compassionate. And they were just trying to beat him and destroy him and get rid of him all the time. Because he saw the bigger picture. He saw the blindness and how they're just destroying themselves by such limited, dark thinking. 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Our model, our Creator, says, be the imitators of God, as dearly loved children. I'm just reading in Mark again. Right after Jesus chose his disciples, the next paragraph, he says, these are his disciples, pull them off. The next paragraph, he says, he went into his house to heal people, and his family came and said, he's lost his mind. Wow. And then the next verse says, the religious leaders came down and says, he's possessed by an evil spirit. That's attacks in ministry. That's painful. Falsely accused like that, That was Jesus' ministry. In these chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We could spend so much time looking at the life of Jesus and how he handled abuse, how he applied all this instruction, not letting any unwholesome word coming out of his mouth just go down the list here, not letting the devil get a foothold, and all those things. How did Jesus handle that? That's where we focus. And the more we focus on him, God's made us to be imitators, like little kids. They see parents doing things and they copy them. And we still tend to do that. Whatever you fill your mind with, that's what you're going to tend to imitate. You'll think the way wherever you're listening to the most. Whoever you admire and respect, that's what your thinking is going to go the same way. And so let's focus on Jesus again. And I'm so glad that the verses come again after that serious instruction. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love just as Christ loved us. Imitate him and what he did, sacrificing himself for us. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for living your life here, demonstrating what love looks like in a broken world, what relationships look like in a broken world. Thank you, Lord, for being the example and for your Spirit coming to live in us. And as we move into this time of breaking bread together, it's all in honor of you, Lord. You've opened the door, you've set the example, you've made everything possible for us to be restored to you and experience joy in the midst of all of this brokenness, including the brokenness inside of us. Thank you for making this possible, Lord. In your name, Jesus. Amen.